I'm really glad I don't have to preach with those cotton balls on my face. That would be a little distracting, I think. This morning, we're going to be in Psalm 23, continuing our series in Psalm 23. For those of you with bulletins, there's a sermon outline in there if you wish to take notes, draw pictures, whatever you want to do there. That'd be great. Psalm 23, Tyler's brought it up here. We're going to read this together if we could, please. Hopefully, you guys can read that. See if it works out. All right. Psalm 23 is the NIV. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And that's verse 5. We're going to stop right there at verse 5 today. That's what we're going to be looking at today is verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, today you're going to teach us something. And I pray that you would prepare our hearts to learn the lesson you have for us. Father, may we listen to your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, there was a number of years ago, in 2002 actually, there's a story of Martin and Gracia Burnham. She wrote a book called In the Presence of My Enemies. Some of you may have read that book, and I'm sure the story is familiar to you, but I want to read an excerpt out of that. An excerpt from that book, Gracia Burnham wrote, In Presence of My Enemies. This is actually an interview following the writing of that book. On the 10-year anniversary of Martin's death, CBN News anchor Wendy Griffith spoke with Gracia, who's using her story to set others free. Martin and Gracia were held captive by the Filipino terror group Abu Sayyaf and were held for more than a year before a rescue attempt resulted in Martin's death and Gracia's release. It became one of the year's biggest stories. Missionaries Martin and Gracia Burnham held hostage by the Abu Sayyaf, a radical Muslim group known for beheading victims if ransoms were not paid on time. The couple had been celebrating their 18th wedding anniversary at a resort in Palawan when terrorists kidnapped them and more than a dozen others. In a military boat, along with armed Filipino soldiers, CBN News Griffith passed by the area of Basilan Island, where the Abu Sayyaf first brought Martin and Gracia Burnham when they were kidnapped in 2001. They had spent just over a year in these jungles, constantly on the run, never knowing where their next meal was coming from, and completely dependent upon God for their daily survival. "Yes, we asked God for everything we needed," Gracia recalled. "If we needed a drink of water, I asked God for a drink of water. And if it came to a stream, I drank the water. Didn't matter if it was dirty. It was water, and God provided it for us." That struck me. That really hit me a little bit, because here she is, surrounded by her enemies, in the presence of her enemies, and God provided. Was it what she would have preferred? No. But it was water. And she did not turn her nose up at it. She took it. Regardless of where she was, she took it. And in Psalm 23, verse 5, we see God telling us that he provides. In the presence of our enemies, he provides. Now, most people, when they read this psalm, they see that part, that God provides. God provides in the presence of our enemies, doesn't he? We know that. But I'm going to look at this a little bit differently today. I'm going to look at this from the eyes of a shepherd today, just a little bit as we've been looking at Psalm 23. We've been studying through the eyes of a shepherd, right? David being a shepherd, what this means to him. And we sit there and think about this for 1 minute. There's a couple underlying assumptions in this passage. One is that God will provide, but the one I want to focus on today is that we have enemies. Now that may be something that frankly you haven't thought about very much. But in this world, as Christians, here at Grace Church, we have enemies. We have things that are here distracting us from God, things that are interfering with our relationship with God. We have enemies. And God provides a table for us in the presence of our enemies. In other words, God provides growth for us in the presence of those who would prefer we not grow, those who may wish harm upon us. We have enemies. In the presence of our enemies, God provides for us. Now, I want to first look at this from the eyes of a shepherd for just a minute here. Sheep have a few natural enemies, right? We understand, we've been looking at Psalm 23, and we've been understanding that sheep have natural predators. They do. They have predators outside the gate, so to speak. You know, I talked about growing up just a mile north of my grandfather's place, and every night he would bring the sheep into the barn, right? He'd have the corral every evening. He'd turn them loose in the barnyard, basically. He'd have the barnyard, he'd bring them out in there, and then he'd put them in the barn at night. They had safe places for the sheep to go. And then sometimes during the day, the sheep would, he would turn them loose during the day in the pasture. The sheep would normally stay in the pasture. The pasture wasn't necessarily the safest place, not as safe as the barn, but it was safer than being out loose in the CRP ground that he had. And sometimes they would jump fence, get loose in that CRP ground. And that was definitely not a safe place for them, right? Because why? Because sheep have natural predators. They do. They have predators outside the gate, so to speak. Lions, wolves, and tigers, oh my, right? Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. So I don't know my movie quotes. That's okay. They have natural predators. We had neighborhood dogs that would get loose in my grandpa's sheep. And once a dog gets a taste of sheep, you can't keep them out of it. And you had to destroy the dog. You had to. It's one of those things you had to go to the neighbor and say, man, I found your dog chewing on my sheep. And they would kill sheep. And we had to destroy the dog. We understand that sheep have natural predators. Natural predators outside the gate. What we don't think about sometimes is that there are predators, there are dangers inside the gate. Tyler's got a picture here of something I want him to bring up real quick. This is a picture of a camas field. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's a camas field, blue camas. And it's a great place for sheep to go out in there and to feed. It's a great place, all right? So shepherds would turn them loose in these fields. They turn them loose out in there, and they would go out there, and they would feed all day long. What you had to be aware of as a shepherd is that within this blue camas, there's another type of flower called a white camas. White camas grows up within the blue. White camas is toxic to sheep. It will kill them. Sheep get in there. They get in that stuff. They don't know the difference. One tastes just the same as the other. They eat it, and they will die. So a good shepherd, what's he do? He recognizes that there are dangers inside the gate as well. So he's out there watching. He's patrolling the pasture. He's looking to see what's there. He'll be out there in the springtime. He'll be pulling this stuff up. He'll be burning it. In Israel, they had several different plants. They had plants such as the Bermuda buttercup, the giant fennel, bishop's weed, things like that, that was toxic to sheep. This is a plant that's in America that American shepherds have to watch out for. But there are toxins within the field that would destroy your flock. And we don't think about that sometimes, do we? We think about the natural predators, don't we? Not thinking about the poisons that sometimes grow up within the pasture, within that place of nourishment, right? Because isn't that what a pasture is? It's a place where they come in, they get nourished, they grow. And so when you understand these predators, all of a sudden it makes a bit of difference, this whole table concept, doesn't it? Because now we can move to God preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, do sheep eat at tables? Only in kids' books, right? They don't really eat at tables, do they? But what does that mean? You prepare a table before me. This is David, again, writing as a shepherd, using the illustration where God is the shepherd now and he is the sheep. I said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a place of nourishment for me in the presence of my enemies. Prepare a place where I can get nourished, where I can grow in the presence of my enemies. What does that mean? What does that look like? It's interesting to me, going back to this literal thing of a shepherd and a sheep, how in many languages, the word table is the word mesa, right? In some African dialects, in the Spanish dialect, the word table is literally mesa. And a mesa, to a shepherd, to somebody who knows geography, the layout of land, what is that? That's a hilltop, isn't it? And to a shepherd, what's a hilltop? Well, a hilltop, especially in the late summer months, that's a place where you can go where it's still cool and it still has vegetation that hasn't been scorched as bad by the sun because it's cooler up there, right? And so it's a place for shepherds to go. They go up there on that mesa. But we also know in the mesa that that's a long ways from civilization. Now, here's a picture, and it's the best picture I could find. You see right here, these are some ruins out front. Right, this is in Israel. You see all these ruins out front, but off in the distance behind, it's what I want you to see. You see the mesa back there, the hilltop? What color is it? It's green, isn't it? Down in the valleys, everything is brown, everything is scorched. But up on the hilltop, clear up there, everything is green. And that's what it was like for the shepherds. And so they would go to the place where it was green. They would take their sheep there. It was a long way away from civilization. Civilization was down in the valleys. So when you get up there at the green hilltops, what do you have? You have the wild creatures. Are much worse up there, aren't they? Because that's where they go. They hide from civilization. So that's where your lions are going to be. That's where your bears are going to be. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 17. David talks to King Saul about how he went and he destroyed, he killed the lion and the bear who attacked his sheep. David wasn't shepherding down in the villages. He was out in the hills. That's where he had to go. And he knew there were danger points out there he had to be aware of. And he knew that. And so he watched. He kept guard. He kept guard not only for animals, but he kept guard for those toxins that grow up within the good stuff, right? Because it was there, and sometimes it was hard to tell apart, especially as a sheep. You didn't know the difference. And so the shepherd, he knew, and he had to watch for that. Now, I'm not a very brilliant person, but even I can draw some illustrations out of that for our Christian life, right? I mean, think about that for just a minute. We talk about the natural predators of sheep. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us as a church? We as a church are considered sheep, right? And God is our shepherd. We as a church, we recognize that we have natural predators, don't we? We have a culture that is against us, correct? And we cannot ignore that, can we? We have a culture that's against us. And our culture today, God's word is not respected, is not acknowledged as a moral foundation. The Ten Commandments are being removed. Here just this week at a school, they removed a picture of Jesus just because it's offensive to somebody. Right? A child got sick. A child died. They left him in memorial of that child. The family bought a picture of Jesus hanging on the school hallway. And the atheist made him remove it. This is where we're at today. We have a culture that's against us. We look around and we see these natural predators and we say, yeah, they're there, right? We know that Satan is against us. This week for some of us here at Grace Church has been a very hard week. We at Grace Church are in a great place right now because God is just doing a wonderful thing. Who would have believed that we broke 70 people, right? Isn't this amazing for us? We should be celebrating this, and we are celebrating. It's a great thing, but we cannot forget that Satan is going to come against us. Because as we get bigger, we're going to have a congregation of fat, healthy sheep, right? And what animal doesn't want to eat some fat, healthy sheep? And so that's where Satan's coming. He's going to come against us. We're no longer stagnant. We're no longer just dead, rotting out our time, waiting. We are now alive and moving, and Satan's going to come against us. We have to be ready for that. We have a natural predator, God's own enemy, and that is Satan. And some of you can look back in your own life, maybe even this week, where you can see some things that's happened that is unusual, that is not normal. Do not discredit the power that Satan has. Sometimes we don't give God enough credit, and sometimes we don't give Satan enough credit either. We cannot forget that both have power. And Satan is considered the prince of this earth, isn't he? God has given him power. Satan has power over us. He can affect our lives. He can do it. Are you watching for this natural predator? God is preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemy. Here we are at this church, surrounded really by Satan and his forces. And here we are surrounded by them. Are you aware of this? Are you alert? Are you watching? God has said, be alert, be vigilant. Because why? Satan is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Our shepherd has given us warning signs. Are we listening? Are we watching for those warning signs? Are we watching for Satan to be at work? For Satan to do what he is so good at doing, and that is deceiving us, and that is stopping the growth? This last Sunday, and actually a couple times this week, I was able to have conversations with people from church here. And they were talking about some of the different phases that Grace Church has been through. There's been several phases at Grace Church where you've had times of growth and just times of excitement and things kicking in. Sunday school classes getting big, congregation getting big. And then something would happen. Some small thing or maybe sometimes some big thing, would just blow up and it would literally stop it. Pastors would resign, congregations would sink. Time after time after time here at Grace Church, that would happen. And there are churches around the nation today that it's happening. Churches are getting excited. And then Satan comes in and he throws in his little left hook that he's got, and we get distracted by things. And we begin falling apart because of people's humanity rather than focusing on what God wants for us. Are we watching? Are we ready for Satan to attack us? And as your pastor here, again, I'm fairly new, right? I'm not claiming to be that intelligent of a person, but I understand that Satan does not want us to grow. Satan does not want us to get stronger than we are today. And he will do his best to make that not occur. And he can do that in so many ways. But where he's really good at is not coming in from the outside, but coming in from the inside. Those inside toxins at churches that will kill us. We see culture coming at us. We recognize that, right? We see those attacks. We see the outside temptations. We recognize those for what they are. But sometimes what gets us are the inside things. And there are a lot of things inside a church that can tear a church apart. And what it is, it's Satan who just kind of spreads some seeds of some bad plants that God has warned us about that we are unwilling to walk away from. God in his word talks about forgiveness, right? We looked at that passage when I first came in 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to turn back to that because 1 Peter chapter 4 mentions some of these things that we need to be alert. We need to be watching for. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 8 is where I'm going to start. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. The understanding there is, of course, we're going to be sinned upon. Somebody's going to do us wrong. And Paul says, Peter says, love one another because love covers a multitude of sins. One of Satan's ways of getting us stopped is when we stop loving one another. We are sinned upon, and therefore we want to sin upon them. Right? As you do unto me, I will do unto you multiple times. And we sit here and think, well, maybe not me. Right? But yet, how easy is it to do that? And Satan is very good at doing that. And if he can't do it with the relationship here at church, he might do it between a husband and wife, between parents and their children. It doesn't matter who it is. He can distract you from anything spiritual in any relationship. That could be a relationship within the church walls. That could be a relationship with you and a coworker. It doesn't matter what it is. You can be hurt. And when you stop loving, you will become essentially a dead sheep. You will freeze up and be no good to God, because you're so wrapped up in bitterness. And that is hard and that is harsh, but that's what God's word says. Let me tell you, people, I know something about bitterness. You guys have heard my story, some of it. You understand the hurt that I had. You understand I almost walked away from ministry last March. A year ago, I almost walked away from ministry. And I had to forgive. And I don't know what hurt you guys have in your life right now. I don't know what harm somebody has done to you. But you've got to forgive. You've got to love. Because if you don't, you will be in your seat, a frozen chosen. Are you willing to get past that? And Satan is very, very, very good at this. And he will distract us. I don't know what's going on within your families. I don't know what's going on within your interpersonal relationships here in the church walls, coworkers. I don't know. But I'll be very surprised if at least one of you is not feeling some hurt today because of what one person has done. I know you've got to be feeling hurt because you're a person. You're human, right? Life stinks and you die and you stink some more, right? That happens, doesn't it? What hurts do you have? Are you willing to love through it? Are you willing to do that? That's a toxin that can stop Grace Church. That will absolutely stop us. Bitterness will stop us. Going down, verse number 9, 1 Peter chapter 4. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. I love grumbling, right? Who doesn't love a little grumbling every now and then? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? You know, we do those type of things, don't we? I got a friend who always curses and profanities. That's what he says. Curses and profanities. Curses and profanities. Right? Sometimes we have those moments in our life where we just want to just grumble, don't we? We do. And yet, what's God say? Without grumbling, people. We at Grace Church, we are human like every other church. We're full of humans. And because we're full of humans, that means somebody's going to grumble about something. And as soon as one person starts grumbling, they can kick in a whole domino effect, can't they? And pretty soon you got more people grumbling about something. I don't like the pastor. He should part his hair the other way. He should bick his hair and shave it. I don't care, right? There are things to grumble about. The guy never wears a tie. What's wrong with him? Things like this happen, don't they? Ushers don't wear suit coats. Why don't the ushers wear suit coats? I don't know the answer to these questions, but we can grumble about them all day long, can't we? We do. Paul and Vicky sit too close. Pastor and his wife sit too far apart. I don't know. There's something to grumble about, isn't there? Right? I can't sit with her and preach and give me a break. But these things happen, and we laugh about it. And I want you to laugh about it right now because it cuts attention a little bit. But think about it. What are we here to think about Grace Church, the history of Grace Church? What are some things that have been grumbled about? And I want to be real. I'm going to be pointed. I'm going to point some fingers today without mentioning names, all right? I heard the story of the pulpit being moved. I came on. They said, hey, what's a sacred cow here? What should I not avoid? And they said, well, don't move the pulpit because it almost stopped the church one morning when the pastor moved the pulpit. Why? Are you kidding me? Okay, these are things that we find to grumble about. You hear churches literally being split over the color of the carpet. Why? This is Satan, people. We laugh. But in reality, we have to be aware. This is Satan. We grumble. We complain. We choose not to love. We don't forgive. We hang on to our bitterness. That is Satan planting toxins among us, and he is stopping us. And he can stop us if we let him. And God has said, regardless of who is around you, regardless of what Satan wants to do, I can cause you to grow. I will help you grow. I'll provide what you need for growth. But what are you going to chew on? What are you going to chew on? Where are you at as an individual, right? A church is made up of body, of a bunch of individuals. And if one individual is unhealthy, what's it do? It affects the whole body. Paul says that. And that's true for us. If one of us is unhealthy, it affects us. If two is unhealthy, it affects us more. If three, four, continue doing the math. Pretty soon you got a whole unhealthy mess of a church. And God is saying, why? I want to remove these from you. Will you let me do it? Instead, we're beating him to it, aren't we? We're racing God to see if he can get to the toxin first. Will we let God remove it, or are we going to chew on it for a while? I know this is real and this is hard. I went over it this Wednesday. I came home and talked to my wife. I said, man, this is going to be a hard message. It's hard for me. Because let me tell you, sometimes the hurt's still there, isn't it? It is. And it's very real. But it's also very distracting. And when you start dwelling on things like that, you're no longer dwelling on kingdom things. You're no longer dwelling on things from God. You're dwelling on things that Satan wants you to dwell on. And he will use that in your life. We have enemies as a church. You have enemies as a person. Psalm 23, in the presence of my enemies. You cannot go through life assuming that there is not somebody out there who wants to get you. Because there is somebody out there who wants to get you. Stay on guard. But now that you know you have enemies, we have to learn, what are we going to watch for? How do we identify them? You look for that bitterness that comes within you. You look for those hurts. And how are you going to respond to those hurts? As your pastor, I cannot promise that I won't hurt you. I'm going to try my best not to. But I probably will some Sunday get up and say something absolutely stupid, right? And it's going to hurt. And when that happens, I want you to come to me instead of letting the bitterness dwell. Come to me and let's uproot it. Let's get rid of it, right? And the same is said for your personal relationships with one another here. Somebody says something that hurts you. It's not because they were evil people. It's because they were deceived and maybe they didn't understand. Are we willing to fight for the health of this church? Or are we going to think that just because we're growing, God is blessing us and that Satan will not come against us? Because if we think that, we are delirious, because he will rise against us and he is rising against us. And we have to fight back, people, right? We at Grace Church, we have to stand up for what we believe. And what do we believe? We have God's word, don't we? And shouldn't this tell us what we believe, what we should do, how we should act? Absolutely it should. Can I get an amen or oh my? Help me out, people. Man, it hurts me because I'm not good at this. Rachel had to come to me this week and say some things that I had done to hurt her. It's hard to listen to. I understand that. And I cried and she cried and it was hard. But you come out the other side stronger, don't you? Because you listen and you understand. And okay, you know what? You're just another person like me. We all fail. I don't want perfection. And you can't get perfection from me because I'm not perfect. I'm not asking you to be perfect as a church. You're not going to be perfect. I'm just asking, will you fight with me? Will you fight with me? Will we fight for one another? Will we fight for what we have right now? Will we fight for what God is doing in us? Will you fight? We're not here to fight one another and Satan wants us to do that. We're here to fight Satan. We have a natural enemy, and God has said, in the presence of that enemy, I have provided a table for you. Will you partake of that table? Will you do it? God, I come to you today. And Lord, I think of what you've done for us and this illustration that you've given us of sheep and the predators that sheep have. And then we sit and think, what predators do we have? And God is just a clear illustration of what we as a church go through. What we as individuals go through. And God, it's not easy to respond in a right way in the middle of a hard time. It's not easy to love. It's not easy to forgive. It's not easy to let go of bitterness. God, it's not easy. Lord, you have promised to be with us. God, I'm begging you to be with us. Help us to love as you've loved. Help us to forgive as you have forgiven. Help us to serve as you served. God, help us to be like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.